Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. We are here recording live from WGN Radio. Joining me for this episode is Maria Nguyen, CEO of Leadership Greater Chicago. They are on the verge of celebrating their, 35th year in existence or operation here. I'm going to preface this conversation by saying I just think that right now, and I'm not talking about the country, I don't want to go in the political stuff. I really do want to go in the political stuff, but I'm not going to. I just think that we have a failure of leadership as a general leadership qualities. So I'm not going to say that it's failed leaders, although they are failing in some cases. But I just feel like what we are teaching, and I don't know if it's education or if it's a kind of a combination of different, you know, the millennial thing. I don't know what it is, but I believe that I grew up around some pretty amazing leaders. And I fall short in a lot of categories of leadership, but I think that I watch other people who I think are astonishing leaders. And I compare myself and try to make improvements as I go. And I see other people who I think, I don't know if they just aren't paying attention or what the deal is, but I'm just noticing a huge influx in bad leadership qualities and bad leadership styles and this sort of top-down management that just doesn't work with a demographic of people who don't respond well to that. And I think it's one of the biggest things that I think that we can make an improvement. We just had a guest on the show, Think Circa, talking about what we can do to improve education. How do we make kids more prepared for the future that is going to be a very tech-enabled, robotic future? But we're not there yet. In fact, we're probably a decade or two away. And so the question becomes, how do we meet that educational component with a current, real-time leadership enhancement and growing our current leadership so that we can onboard and welcome the young folks that are learning this new style of work and have success? And I think that's where Leadership Greater Chicago plays a very integral role. And so I figured, why not have Maria come on and tell me how I could become a better leader? And just in general, have a conversation about this. So Maria, welcome to the show. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it as well.
So before we get into the whole leadership thing, because I can get off the rails quickly, as I just did, we didn't even start the show. what is Leadership Greater Chicago?
So Leadership Greater Chicago is an organization that for the last 35 years has focused on making sure that we have a constant pipeline of civic leaders in the Chicagoland area to address the socioeconomic issues and socioeconomic challenges that we have and the opportunities that we have as well. So we take people who are typically at an inflection point in their careers, ages 30 to 45, and we're unique in that we bring together every year a cohort of about 35 to 39 people who come from different sectors. They come from the corporate sector, entrepreneurs, not-for-profit, government and education. And we bring these groups together to have conversations that they would not otherwise find themselves having across sectors, learning about each other and learning in a way that really breaks down the barriers and the fear of asking the questions that might not get asked in forums where they normally exist, right? So we work hard through different issues, whether it be race, crime and violence, education, healthcare. And at the end of the year, because it's about a 10-session year, our expectation is that people will go out and change the world. We have a really small ask of them.
The world. It's tiny. So that's kind of where I want to jump into this, because it to me is refreshing, and it's, I want to ask this before I jump into this. How much has your ask or your mission changed over the last 35 years?
The magic of it, I think, is that it's stayed pretty tight on its mission.
And that's the part that I want to get in on, because I was hoping, I honestly have no idea what you were going to say there. And I had a response one way or the other that was going to at least keep this show afloat. But the bottom line was, I was hoping that was your answer, because I have noticed, and this is, and the secondary question we'll get to, which is about the impact and where you're going to see the impact on this change the world stuff. But I feel like we've got a million things out there that are preaching leadership and mentorship and quality this and quality that, but they're all riddled with an agenda. And my problem with that is that certain people have certain skills and interests and passions that are what they are. And you can't take someone who has this skill and this agenda and then move them over to something else and go, no, be great there. Doesn't work like that. And so that's why I think a lot of the leadership stuff that I see is really not effective. And I see what you're doing, and I think 35 years before Facebook, before Twitter, before this other BS that like people would self-proclaimed experts of whatever the world is, you were around before that. There was a need that people had, which was to learn how to live a better version of themselves. And you provided with it. And your ask was just that they do better for themselves. The community is better at large because you do better. And I just think that it's so rare to find a company or an organization or a group of people who have been committed to one thing that long and withstood it, withstood all the technology changes and all like the ego play that is now in my mind just like sort of corrupting our world. How have you guys managed to keep centered on one mission and be able to have people leave wanting to pursue whatever it is they want with a different look?
Yeah, thank you. I think the real secret has been to stay close to what the center of the mission has been, which is to bring people who have already demonstrated leadership, who have already demonstrated that they have a civic consciousness about them. And I'm not equating civics with politics by any means, but just the greater good, right?
You don't want to get me started, Maria.
No, I won't. I won't. We're going to stay away from that.
Things that go rolling fast.
No, we're going to stay centered on the greater good, okay? And so with that piece at heart, then the development has been really about how are issues of race or the issues that affect health equity or education or any of those things play out through time, right? So every single class from 1984 that started has dealt with the same socioeconomic issues. So we've not changed to be the flavor of the day, right? Yep. We've stayed centered on the same issues. So what happens across those 35 years is that you're developing cohorts of leaders who have a commonality about these issues and have ways of having conversations. And the expectation is one of developing your personal knowledge and leadership inside of these issues, but it's also about, you know, affect the world in the way that you can. For one person, it might be affecting one life, their block, their community, you know, their town, right? For others, it may be a greater calling to really influence a nation. And we have examples at every single end of the spectrum. And you have to think of it as a spectrum. What's the capacity of a particular leader to lead in place or to lead others? And so that's really, I think, what has made this effective across the years.
What is the number one hope that you are trying to, how do I rephrase this? What's the number one thing you would like to see each person who graduates or goes through this program to leave with?
So what I would like them to be able to leave with is what we work hard toward making happen every year. One is a greater awareness of who they are as a leader. And I think an aware leader understands the good, the bad, and the ugly that they have. And some of what we have, we can't change. But some of what we have, if we know about it, we can change it or turn up the volume on it so that it shines, you know, it shines more, it's heard in a better way. To be able to understand how to work across different factions and collaborations. The leader of today and of the future will have to be a collaborative leader. Yeah. They will have to be a leader that can lead without having to focus on themselves as a founder. They will have more of a co-founder mentality. And somebody who is able to tune in to the trend so they can see what's coming around the corner. So an awareness of themselves, an awareness of what's around them, and then a leader that has courage. A leader that has the courage to say, I see something that is not quite right, or I see an opportunity, something that can be changed for the better, and be able to go and affect change. So for some of that, you need to be trained in understanding how to look at problems and analyze them. So that's part of what we do, and that's part of what I hope people will leave with.
What do the programs itself like, actually look like? So how does a person like me slip through the cracks and get into something like this?
So you would be nominated to apply, right?
Nobody's gonna nominate me, so I'm already out.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that.
But I mean, I could pay these guys. They could nominate me.
So we open up applications October 1st every year, right? So people will begin to apply and to let us know that they have an interest. So the first step is talk it over with your organization and get their support. Second is really look inside yourself to see if this is really what you want to do. And we'll ask some questions up front in the application that will give you a sense of whether you're ready for a commitment like this or not. Then you go through a pretty selective interview process. We get well over 100 applicants in a year to get down to a class size of 35 or 39. And we do balance it. We do a lot of work to get to, diversity by design, yep. Right? Making sure that we have the voices represented that we want in the particular cohort. And then after that, you launch on the journey itself. We start with an opening retreat where people get to know each other, get to know what they're going to be learning for the year. And after that, you come in once a month on a Friday, a first Friday, and we'll take you to communities and you'll learn about community. We'll talk about economic development. We will go through a race session where people will come face to face with their biases and feel comfortable talking about race and understanding that there are perceptions all around, regardless of where you come from or what color you are or what gender. You know, it's about being able to create a safe environment to have conversations that are normally difficult to have. And then we follow on with education, with healthcare, with crime and violence, and in housing and infrastructure. In each one of these, in the middle of the month, might have a leadership breakfast, leader conversation with somebody who is involved in a particular area of the conversation and is a leader that can share what it's like to lead in a particular environment or talk about the issues that are facing a particular area. For crime and violence, for example, we will bring people in to ride along with policemen, right? Yep. With police officers. And prior to that session, they will go to, our cohort goes to the police academy, and we have conversations about what they're going to see, get trained on how, understanding how police officers are trained today, and go out on the streets to really understand what does it look like from that vantage point. So we have experiential learning, we have in-class learning, and then we have little bursts of learning through exposure to leaders.
That is, so like the part about this that I really like that I did not know is I sort of started this conversation off very selfishly, thinking of the individual leader and his or her goals and objectives. And I'm always naturally like inclined to look at it from a business side of things and be like, oh, you know, how would this impact a whole company? How would I drive this company forward? Whatever, whatever. What I like about this that is sort of refreshing and different, I think probably is one of the reasons for the success that you guys have had, is similar to an event that we just did with called Lead Hership, and it was for women entrepreneurs and business people. You know, the goal for us was literally to learn what some of the problems are on a more granular level that we can help address. But my goal as a group and those who spoke with this, our goal was to have other people who were influencers in the audience. This is a very private, not, you know, it's an invite only type of thing, that they would learn something about themselves by simply reflecting from what they heard and would go back to their job tomorrow and be like, you know what? As an example, one of the speakers brought up a point about her husband. No one has ever asked her husband, how do you do this? Because she's a mother. There's this natural, like, how do you do this? And it was like, no one ever asked my husband that. Like, that's a very weird, I don't want to say sexist, but it's a weird comment that you would never really think of. It doesn't come up as like a Me Too moment. It's not a big thing. If we could have one person in the audience go, wow, what a weird, I would have asked it myself, but I never thought about that way. That is a weird thing to say. I will not do that anymore. Or I will tell, if I hear that in my office, I will say something. If more people would respond that way, then we all are better. And the part that you have built with this and the team that you have has built with this is that, yes, ideally those who go through this are better for it, but in a bigger, grander sense, having little, if you want to call them like little seeds in the community that are speaking for, you know, I don't know how often an argument, I suspect right now often, how often an argument breaks out about police brutality and the different things, that there's one person who's been on the inside who can go, and I don't mean the inside is in prison, but I mean, in the end, well, maybe both, but has been on the inside track of this to go, you know, there's a lot more going on than you think. And it makes people stop and pause for just long enough to have a real rational conversation. And that is the reward of Greater Leadership Chicago.
Yeah, correct.
Accurate?
Yes, yes. You've hit upon some really interesting points as you've been talking about this. I think you're right. Part of it is inviting that person that is being exposed to so much and becoming aware of things that have another side of the story, as we all know, right?
Yeah.
To have the courage to share that. And we encourage the people who are going through our program to share the journey, share the conversation, because they will be transformed.
Yeah.
And so you have to bring the people that are around you every day along with you so they understand why you're changing perspectives or why you're bringing on a different conversation. So I think that what we do is bring that voice to that broader audience, as you were saying, not just in the familiar circle of friends and family, but also at work.
Yeah.
And for organizations, we also return somebody who is an enlightened leader, who's seen some things that perhaps they wouldn't otherwise have seen. They come back with tools that help them to become a better leader in the workplace because they're more self-aware of themselves as a leader and how they lead across diversity and inclusion. And also return them with problem-solving tools so they can import those tools away from not only the social sector issues, but into the organizational issues that they might have. So it becomes a transforming journey for those who are around our fellow who's going through a year of growth.
Very cool. I really like this. I think it's refreshing. It's funny that it's been here for 35 years. It's the longest standing leadership program probably in the city of Chicago.
It is.
And yet, there you go. See?
As far as I know.
That's good enough for me. We don't need to dig that far. We're like a data. Data is a thing for us, but it's also like all the way until it's not. You know what I mean? Like
I understand.
I like stats until they're like not for me. And then I don't really like the stats. No, but truth be told, this is a strategy that I like. I want to get behind things like this because, quite honestly, I'm just kind of tired of like the faux leadership, faux paid program stuff where it's like, that has no impact. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that just doesn't even help anybody out at all. Like, you get a certification, like certified leader. It's great. But we don't actually, like, see a benefit. Yeah. And these are people who are going to go to a company. And if you talk to guys like Tom Gimbel at LaSalle Network and others we've had on the show about the importance of culture and the importance of culture being born from within and not some stupid sandbag chair that you put in the corner. I'm like, now we're young. It starts with people who see things differently. And this is actually kind of interesting. The conversation I had with Tom, this is like more than a year ago now, was around the idea that like we sort of agreed to disagree on the fact that you could like mix a culture of like young and people from this world and older and middle, and they put them all together and they have to find their common ground. And the truth of the matter is like, if there's more than three people in the room, they won't find common ground. They'll just go with their group. And they separate, and you have three distinct cultures within one, which isn't good. The only way to truly get it is to get people who have spent time across the aisle, if you will, observing, and they can come back and be like, hey, it's not that bad over there, you know? And so, like, this is really, how do people get engaged with this? How do businesses and people get more people involved with Greater Leadership Chicago?
Well, first of all, having this conversation, I hope people will listen and will become curious. So thank you for the opportunity. I think most people will become involved with us not only through our programming. We have some programs that are open to the public, but also they'll probably begin to hear more about it from our fellows. And our fellows are everywhere.
Yeah.
If I think of the first class.
I would think 35 years. I mean, assuming
they
all
are.
Live a fair life. You got a lot of them out there.
Well, I'll give you some examples. So in the class of 1984, class that started in 1984,
yep.
The class of 85, we had people like John Rogers,
yep.
who leads Ariel Financial, Ariel Investments, and is a tremendous civic leader. We had Steve Crown, who's part of Crown Philanthropies. We had David Vitale, who had a tremendous career in banking and the financial sector, and then eventually also led the Chicago Public Schools from a board president perspective. in the second class, we had Valerie Jarrett, who became, you know, the chief of staff for President Obama, and who interestingly will credit Leadership Greater Chicago with having gone through that transformation of being, as she would put it, a lawyer board in private practice and went into public service. And what would the White House have been without Valerie Jarrett, right?
No, that's for sure.
So
I feel like there's a lot of lawyers in Chicago that probably should be your target. They're all little evildoers out there right now until they find a purpose. Nothing is worse than staring at a contract for 800 hours a week or whatever it is.
Yeah, so we encourage people to go to the website, lgcchicago.org, and take a look at who we are. And I'm sure that you'll see people that you know there and engage in conversation with us.
We'd and nominate that. Me, if you're so inclined.
Yeah, and nominate you. Absolutely.
Starts October. Let's do this.
October 1. We close March 1, so there's time here.
There's still time. I really appreciate you coming in and taking the time. This is great. Love what you guys are doing. Keep me posted if there's ever a way that we can feature some of your leadership people and fellows in the show to spread the word. We've got, you know, I think from our standpoint, obviously we are promoting tech and startups and we're involved in that quite heavily. But like I've said throughout this interview and others, education to me, folks, you just got to get smarter. All right. That's like all I'm trying to get at is we need people to be smarter and a little bit more aware of their surroundings.
Well, and I really appreciate this opportunity, particularly in the tech sector, because I grew up in the tech sector. I was an executive at Xerox and at Microsoft. And
the OGs of the tech world, folks. This
and
is the
so,
real deal.
You know, this was, for me, stepping into the not-for-profit sector was a big change, but it was really inspired by the fact that I saw a need for technology to make a difference. So when I was at Microsoft, having led the state and local sector for the sales organization, I saw a need for us as a corporation to get involved with issues of workforce readiness and digital divide and started an entire office for Microsoft that focused on that.
Yep.
So if you're in the tech sector, we have so many tools that can help accelerate doing good and doing well in so many different aspects of our society. So I would love to see more people from the tech sector involved with us and involved in problem solving with the amazing tools that technology enables us with today.
I agree. Anyone listening to this, you can let us know or reach out to you directly through the organization. I would love to see more of this kind of stuff. I'm just sort of like, as I've said, tapped out on the sort of award system leadership certificate stamping business that seems to have grown out of this. So congratulations on all the success. Congrats on the 35 years. In our book, you are the longest standing leadership program in Chicago. I don't care what the stats have to say. I appreciate you taking the time to come in today.
Thank you very much.
Of course, you can catch this episode and all of the rest of them on technori.com. Definitely check out technori.com. But if you are a mobile user who listens to podcasts all the time, subscribe to us on Spotify. We're there now. And Apple Podcast and Google Play if you're one of those Pixel people. And I don't know, there's a whole bunch of other places you can find us, but you probably know where they are. As for social media, we would love for you guys to join the conversation, be a part of these things. It's your feedback that helps me ask the questions that I ask and get this information. Check us out on everything at Technori, or you can get me on everything at Katoon. That's it. Boom, that's a wrap.